another episode of You the Mother podcast by Abby Williams, a space dedicated to supporting, empowering, and connecting all parents in all seasons of parenthood. You can find more supportive content over on Instagram at You the Mother, and be sure to check out youthemother.com, where you can reach out to work with me one-on-one or sign up for my group coaching. I am so excited to be welcoming on Heather Chauvin to talk about the power of feeling good, why we can no longer pretend we don't have time to take care of ourselves, how to feel alive, energized, and free when the world has different expectations of whom you need to be, and how to reconnect to the parts of you that want more so you can give more. Heather is a leadership coach who helps successful women courageously and authentically live, work, and parent on their own terms. Heather started her career as a social worker helping adults understand children's behavior, but it wasn't until 2013 when a stage 4 cancer diagnosis pushed her to take a deeper stand for change, uncovering how cultural expectations sabotage our dreams. She has been featured in Forbes, Entrepreneur, Real Simple Magazine, Mindbody Green, Google, and more. When Heather isn't working, you can find her living out what she teaches, which may include kayaking Alaska, snowboarding, hiking, or anything else that challenges what she believes is possible for herself, and inviting her children along the journey. Life is full of opportunities, and it's time to feel alive. You can find Heather on her podcast, wherever you're listening to this podcast, Emotionally Uncomfortable. You can also pick up her book, Dying to Be a Good Mother, wherever you buy your books. And you can also find her on her Instagram, HeatherChauvin_. I hope that you enjoy this week's episode. And if you do, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here on the podcast always means the world to me. And I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started in supporting you, the mother. Hi, Heather. Welcome to You, the Mother podcast. I am so excited that you are here joining us today because I think feeling good can feel scary. It can feel like, what the heck does that mean? There's lots of different emotions around feeling good. And so I'm really excited to have this conversation around the power of feeling good. But first, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, that's what I'm all about, is making people emotionally uncomfortable. I think I came into the world trying to make people emotionally uncomfortable.
I identify with that.
Yeah, especially that. when you're like, you want to push back a little bit. So I'm a little bit of a rebel. And mother, that rebellious attitude did not help in my early stages of mothering. So I was 18 when I became a mom. I remember looking at my son the first time and thinking, I don't want to fail at this. And also, I don't want to become a statistic. And I did everything that I possibly could that I thought was good, being a good, successful person, because I'm no longer living for myself. So that rebellious side of me kind of left. I put her to the side for a minute. And then I started checking the boxes, went and got educated, went and did all the things, child first, give. And I'm getting the pats on the back and I feel like shit. And not only that, that little part of me, the whisper that I tell everyone to listen to, is like, not this. Like, I could see in the future, like 30 years down the road, like, this is not going to be good. Like, I can see the catastrophe coming. And I did the things. I went to therapy, went to the doctors, did all the things. And they're like, suck it up, buttercup. This is adulthood. And it wasn't until I dove into spirituality that I understood meditation and mindfulness and emotional intelligence. But then I left my corporate job. At the time, I was a social worker, left the bureaucracy, went into and then started my business, podcasting, and then my body gave out. So it was 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer. Certain buckets of my life felt really, really good. Like, I was thriving. I felt like I was thriving in parenting because I dove into conscious parenting. My marriage was pretty decent. My money bucket was incredibly low because I was just in startup and trying to figure that out. career was starting to align. I really found passion there. My physical body was depleted. And I think my body was teaching me boundaries, to be honest with you. But in that moment, what I realized with the work I was doing around parenting and myself and all the knowing that I already had, I brought the little rebel back and I was like, no, I'm going to deeply trust myself. I'm going to learn how to deeply trust myself. And it was in that moment that I realized giving to everybody else but myself, like, was physically killing me, and that the whole secret and goal that I was trying to do was feel alive. So that's when I started reverse engineering my life.
Heather, we have like almost the exact same story.
Really?
Yeah, I was a young mom as well.
You're like, yep. And when you're like, yep, I'm like, okay, yeah, she's got a story. So tell me. Yep.
I'm like, young mom as well, checking all the boxes, going to all the school, doing all the things, social work. I got my master's in social work. I was in like nonprofit working with at-risk youth, super burned out. Left that whole world, started my own stuff, right? And the bottom fell out for me in 2021. Wow. Yeah, when I was like on baby number four. He had just turned 1 year old. We had just like kind of come out of a pandemic, right? Like, I don't know. I feel like maybe we were still kind of in it in 2021. Mm-hmm. I estranged from my mother in 2019. And my mental health went like, yep, all the therapy, all the things. And like your body just does kind of fall out, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like after.
Yeah.
The after effect. The body, it's like you can feel it in the mind. I feel like you feel it in the mind and the soul first. Like you get the whispers of like, I'm going to burn out. Something's going to happen. But then you keep pushing that off because you're told not to listen to that part. And then your mind, we call it mental health, starts to deteriorate. People start to notice. This is when my friends start texting and calling me and they're like, I need coping strategies. I need to do this. And I was like, so now you're wondering why I do certain things, right? They're like, oh, my boss is saying this, or so-and-so is saying this. Those relationships and behaviors are starting to notice. But then the body's like, she's not listening. She's not taking the cues. So now we just got to give her a disease.
Yeah.
We got to cut her off. And yeah. Yeah.
I know. I think that like our bodies are cool in that we can kind of be in like the survival mode, right? And like your body kind of takes you along. But then your body also lets you know when things are really not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
we need to listen.
So I guess like, let's kind of talk about it. How do we get ourselves to listen? And how do we start feeling or allowing ourselves to feel good instead of living in some of this burnout, overwork, overproducing, and maybe even like swinging the other way, some of the under functioning kind of stuff, right? I think that it comes up for different people in different ways. You sound like hopefully recovered over functioner like myself, right? Who is chasing achievements and doing all the good things, right? But I think that when we're just living out these like societal expectations, how do we maybe turn down that volume and turn up the volume to our inner voice, right?
So it's interesting when you say the under and over, because I would say I was an underachiever before I got pregnant.
Yeah. Same.
And my drug of choice was sleep.
Yeah.
I tell people this all the time. I wasn't into drugs or alcohol. I was a responsible one. Cause of course I'm sure you're going to be nodding your head the whole time. Yeah. Anyways, I'm sure we'll talk more off camera, but, yeah, I was already burnt out as a teenager. And because I wasn't responsible for anyone else except my mother, I could get away with just sleeping all the time. Didn't go to school, didn't barely pass school. And then when I got pregnant, I was like, okay, let's go in the opposite direction. And then I remember going to school, reading the textbook and being like, oh my God, I'm not stupid like everyone told me I was. And I'm like, this is fascinating to me. And that's when I really started understanding this whole, like, the stories we tell ourselves. So fast forward, my oldest is now almost 19, middle is 13, and the youngest turned 11 the other day. The myth one, that the older they get, the easier it is a complete lie, because I think the boundaries and the emotional intelligence and the space that you hold is so much, needs to be so much sharper the older that they get. And it truly is about a relationship. Like, when your children go out into the world and you don't control everything anymore, I'm assuming, as you know, is like, you got to have that foundation of that relationship there, and your shit needs to be in check. So anyways, moving forward, this is such a mind game when it comes to the over and underachiever and not letting society get to you, because I have to check this every day of my life. And this is what I teach women. I ask myself, how do I feel today? How do I want to feel? And there's like a step-by-step process that I teach people. It's like free. You can get it on my podcast or my website. But step one is, nobody has ever said to me, I want to feel like shit. Like, I want to be more depleted, more angry, more resentful. I want more debt. We know what we want. Like, we actually do. We just don't want to give ourselves permission to say it out loud, because if we do, then we actually have to take action. And when we take action, that's when we become the disruptor and we start pushing against those cultural norms. I remember when I started this process and I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I could physically feel the judgment, and I had to like sit with my guilt. And I tell women all the time, why don't you do that? And they're like, because then I'll feel guilty. And I'm like, who told you you are incapable of feeling guilt? Like, you are wiser than your guilt. You are bigger than your feelings. So why do we just stop there? I feel guilty, therefore I can't. But it's like, why is guilt take over? Like, I'm doing something bad. You can logically say, I'm literally taking a rest. Is that bad? Like, talk yourself out of it. And so we're not taught to feel our feelings. And then we wonder why, when our children come to us and they have big feelings, you know, we live in this culture where everyone's talking about emotional intelligence. It's like, you want to know how to help your anxious child? How do you control your anxiety? Well, I don't.
Well, I don't, but well, please fix my kid. Yeah.
100%. 100%.
I know. And like, working with youth for a stretch of my professional career, that is a lot of parents come in and I'm like, okay, family history, like, does anybody else struggle with mental health in your family? It's like, oh yeah, well, I have anxiety and depression and all this. Like, are you on medication and therapy and treatment? No. Okay. I know. So I'm gonna be in therapy for the rest of my life probably, but I'm very open about it in front of my kids, right? That like, mom goes to therapy. And if you ever feel like you need a safe space to go and talk about things that you don't feel like you can talk to your mom or dad or another trusted adult about, let's do that, right? And we're very like therapy positive in our house. But it's hard.
I'll say, when they become teenagers, it swings to the other side. So I, growing up, was that, like, that pattern breaker. And I've always felt like that, like, the whole family comes to me, I'm the glue. And I'm like, why is this my purpose? I don't know. It's just my thing. I'm always pushing against things. I'm doing things differently. And so then I become this person. And now my son puts me on this pedestal. And he's like, I won't amount to that. Like, I'm not good enough. Where I was like, I don't want to become my mother. So I'm going to do the opposite of that. And like, the overachiever. And so I watch it and I was like, you are not me. You will never be me. But he's like, you do this, you do therapy, you do coaching, you do like positive things. I'm going to do the opposite. And he has said it to me because of our relationship. So it's just fascinating. He will swing back around. And I truly believe role modeling is the key to anything. If you look in the through line in every single parenting book that you read, it's always about role modeling. They will swing, they will do their thing. But at the end of the day, I'd rather my
space.
100%. 100%.
Just be the safe space for them to land wherever the heck they're at right now.
Yes.
Which is easier said than done sometimes. And I think like some of our guilt and like shame can kind of creep in there sometimes too when they're like out there doing their thing and you're like, wait, but you should.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to talk back to some of those voices too. So mm-hmm. Heather, I guess like in the age of this modern parenthood right now, I think the expectations for parents in 2023 is unrealistic, unattainable. Just breeds burnout, right? How can we kind of come back to ourselves and feel alive, feel energized, feel good, and want to be there?
Okay, so the first thing that came to my mind is during COVID, when I was interviewing a therapist, which I interviewed a lot of them, every single one told me they were not homeschooling their children. And that their goal, or if they were, they had other support, and that their goal was to allow their child to feel safe and loved. So what I find fascinating is when people are in this world, like you understand, right? Because you've studied it. So you get it a little bit, and we're not all practicing what we preach. But I see behind so many people's lives and from all walks of life and even people that we put on pedestals that we're following online. I see behind the scenes, like I've had intimate conversations with these people. I've been in rooms with them, like, you know, they're crying to me and it's all a lie. There is this mask that people wear because they're afraid of vulnerability. And so when I'm buying into something, I have to ask myself, is this in alignment with how I want to feel? And I tell people all the time, they're like, well, how do I feel that way? And I'm like, before I can give you the step-by-step, you have to ask yourself, like, am I ready to give myself permission to stop feeling like shit? Am I ready to stop abandoning myself? Because the interesting part was when I was diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer, I had 9 years of personal development under my belt, like mentors, coaches, retreats. And all the coaches that I was attracting were all about like feeling good and pleasure. Like it wasn't like all this masculine like hustle mode. But I had to give myself permission in that last bucket of my life to feel good. And when I finally got to the point where I'm like, I don't have the option to feel like shit anymore because that equals death. And it may not be guaranteed that I'm going to live, but I have to choose every single day to feel a little better. And it was fascinating to watch. So I do understand the cultural resistance, the current that is coming towards us. But you at the end of the day, you have to just shut it out. Like, get like unsubscribe from the apps, like delete the apps. If I'm scrolling on Instagram, I'm like, this is not of service to me right now. I delete the app. Put your phone away, walk away, ask yourself, how do I want to feel? What's one thing that you can do that's going to allow you to feel that in the moment? And then you have to get out of that survival state and start becoming more proactive with your actions. So asking yourself, what am I angry and resentful about? Well, I don't feel like I'm making enough money. Great. You need to have an uncomfortable conversation with your boss about getting a promotion or getting a pay increase or being like, what else can I do? Right? Or asking yourself, like, is my calendar sustainable? There's a lot. I posted something on Instagram today and I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like something about time. I'm like, if I had Instagram on, because I probably already deleted it. Something about time, or women will say to me, I don't have enough time. And what I actually hear is, I lost my power and I'm not confident on how to get it back. And I think that's exactly what's happening, is about power and identity and how to step up and into who we want to be and how we want to feel. Because there's absolutely no reason why you need to be burnt out, angry, and resentful all the time, even if you have infant children,
adult children. You can reverse engineer how you want to feel, but it's not going to happen overnight.
How do we do that?
Okay, step one.
How long are you available for this conversation?
Yeah. Well, I want to let you know that I've been at this for 10 years, like actively 10 years of making that decision. And I can say that I'm thriving in all areas of my life. But the resistance and that pull of cultural expectations never goes away. What I have realized is I need to be a boundary ninja. Boundaries with my time, my energy, even my money. And it's not about budgeting. It's about, is this investment that I'm about to make something? Why am I doing this? Why am I buying shoes off the internet at midnight? Was that intentional? Did you already want to buy shoes? Or is this just like
nighttime scrolling? I need a dopamine hit.
Yeah. But I do tell people, I do have a strategy if you want me to
share. Yeah, I would.
So I use this journal prompt and I've used it forever. It's, wouldn't it be nice if? This journal prompt is, wouldn't it be nice if, because I'm not asking you what you want. I'm not asking you what your goals are or when you want to complete them. Put a 5-minute timer on. 5 minutes feels too much, 2 minutes. And write down, wouldn't it be nice if, and it could be the simplest things, like, if someone could bring me a glass of water, someone else could figure out what's for dinner tonight, if I could go for a walk, two big things, if I could quit my job, if I could have Fridays off. And some of them may be true, some of them won't be. Like, I have clients all the time that come in, they're like, I need to quit my job. They literally go on a leave and then they go back to that job and they're like, oh, I was the problem, it wasn't the job. Or I want to start a business. And I'm like, starting a business is not the easiest thing in the world to do. It's not as easy. People show you online. So once you have your desire list, then you go to, what's the common feeling? So around the time when I was diagnosed, Danielle Laporte had her book, Desire Map. And I remember the takeaway from that book was, it's not the thing you're after, it's the feeling. So the thing that you want, bigger house, more Fridays off, water, whatever. What is the feeling? I want to feel nourished. I want to feel spacious. I want to feel free. I want to feel alive. I want to feel abundant, whatever. Those are the feelings that you're after. We are all after feelings. We're not after the thing. You can go get the thing, go get the bigger house. But how many times do people say, when I lose the weight, then I will. When I make the money, then I will. You're lying to yourself. You are absolutely lying to yourself. When my children get to this age, then I will. That is the biggest lie ever. Every single day, you have to align your energy. So after my diagnosis, I started writing these things out and it all came back to, I want to feel alive. Great. Then I had a moment where I want to feel alive. I want to feel alive. How many people walk around in the world? I want to feel abundant. I want to feel free. And they've never felt that feeling in their entire life. They have no evidence of what that feeling is. I sat there, Abby, like a detective, having to figure out what aliveness actually felt like, because I had a moment that I was literally on the bathroom floor, as most aha moments happen, on the bathroom floor, having this like crisis with myself where I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm in the middle of my treatment. And I'm like, I got myself to present. So my comfort zone, or my like negativity bias, was, let's go to worst case, right? So worst case scenario, I'm going to die. Then I got my brain to present. And I was like, you're here. You're alive. You're alive right now. Then I asked myself, how do you want to feel? How do you want to feel? How do you want to feel? And I'm like, I want to feel alive. I want to feel alive. So then I'm going, I want to feel alive. And then I get afraid again because I'm like, I don't know how to feel alive. I have no evidence. I've had no evidence in my entire life of what aliveness felt like. I couldn't even go back to my 20s. I was like 27 when I was diagnosed and I was a mother for 9 years. I'm like, I don't know what aliveness feels like. So then I had to go, What do alive-looking people do? What do they do? So then I started testing. So then I'm like, this is before Instagram was Instagram. So I'm like, they go to cafes and journal. So then I did that. And then I cried the whole time.
Because you're like, I don't feel alive doing this.
I felt guilty.
Oh, yeah.
So then I realized, well, shit. If my whole existence is guilt, there's no room for aliveness. So I have to feel the guilt before I can put aliveness back in there. And so I just kept doing the thing I didn't want to do. I kept going for walks because that's what alive-looking people do. I kept listening to podcasts and they would be like, hold boundaries with people who are sucking the life out of you. I knew who these people were. So I stopped responding to their text messages. And more guilt, more guilt, more guilt, more guilt. And then I'm like, okay, maybe one day I will feel alive. And then I started to. And slowly, 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 I came back to life. And I know we had a conversation before we hit record about like the duality between, you know, the joy and the fear and both. And people are so obsessed with, I want to feel good. I want to feel good. I just did that one thing. Why am I not feeling good? And I'm like, because you're a human being. And this isn't about just doing the thing and feeling good instantly. This is about chronically choosing joy and choosing, like reaching for it. Like that's your vision instead of being stuck in the day to day and then wondering why you feel dead inside.
And I think like so many of us who are breaking cycles, those of my listeners who are on estrangement journeys like myself, what you're talking about is so, so important to remember that that guilt is temporary and you can push past that guilt, right? Mm-hmm. And I think like the more you practice and use these muscles of better boundaries, of saying no, of choosing the thing that is going to bring you joy, the more we strengthen those muscles and make those things patterns, the easier mm-hmm. they become.
Yeah. And when you start implementing boundaries, a lot of space is required in order for you to understand what is me and what is them. And then you get to slowly creep in and figure out like, can I handle this? Do I have the capacity for this? Are they willing to, not even are they willing to change? Can I see them differently? We could have a whole other conversation about that with parents, but it's been wild to see the grief that is required, the grief work that's required to let go of someone who's still living. Yeah.
It's a whole thing. It's a lifelong journey. Heather, why do you feel like it is so hard for women to choose themselves and choose their happiness and prioritize this feel good power?
Well, we've been born and bred to be good.
Yes.
And yeah, my book is titled Dying to Be a Good Mother because that was my goal, was to be good, 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 good. I did not want to fail. And I didn't even know I was dying. I was just doing what the women before me taught me to do. I literally opened my eyes and was like, show me the role models. Okay, that's what she's doing. That's what she's doing. That's, she looks like, oh, my friend turned out okay. I was even looking to like the women around me and then realized, oh crap, that is not gonna get me to a place where I feel fulfilled. And that is required of me because I can see, I don't know why, maybe it was like my sole purpose, but I just could not tolerate, not feeling alive. And I just knew I would become very angry and resentful. And I had the intellect to understand that if I'm angry or resentful, I will spill that onto my children. And I haven't told the story in a while. I remember this is a woman in my family, in my inner circle. I remember after I became a mother, like my hair was my thing. I used to invest money in my hair all the time. And I went and bought, she goes, oh, honey, you're going to have to buy the shitty shampoo now. And logically, I was like, even if I, because I was on like government assistance, and I'm like, what is adding $10 to a bottle of shampoo? How does that make me a bad mother? Like, I could not intellectualize it. Because I'm like, I was like, well, if my hair feels good, and then I'm going to be nicer to my children. I'm going to feel a little bit better. But that was like literally the instant message that I received is, oh, honey, it's never about you anymore. And that was so depressing to me. But I knew that I wasn't going to be able to tolerate that. So we're just taught this. It's a story. And I think when we can catch ourselves and go, what story am I telling myself? And I think our generation is speaking, using their voice and saying like, this is not, we cannot live like this. Like, look at what happened and we cannot continue on this journey. I think the more and more we're using our voice to say, not me. I mean, every day I have to consciously, like right before I got on this call with you, my husband is out of town for like 48 hours. Kitchen table full of laundry. Okay. The kids were actually cleaning it. All three boys were like folding laundry yesterday. It's not put away. I'm like, I don't need to yell about this. Like, it's just laundry. And then I'm like, oh, look at this house. It's messy. And I'm like, and we don't yell in this house. We're loved. They're safe. But as a child, that would not have flown. And I'm like, what is this? Why? But intellectually, I have to talk myself out of that story. And then if I did yell, do you know what my children would say to me now? Are you okay? Do you need to go for a walk?
I love that.
I could never say that. Yeah.
I love that. Mother. I love that. Yeah. I love it when our kids can kind of like talk back and like speak those kind of things to us, right? I have my oldest is 13 and my youngest is 3. So I've got like the spread in between there. And my girls in the middle, especially when I'm yelling, are like, Mom, you're scaring me. And like not like crazy, like they don't come at you all whatever. It's just like, hey, girl. Check yourself right now, right? Yeah. And I love that they're able to say that to me. Yeah. And you're like, you're right. I'm sorry. I need to go do XYZ for me so that I can come back and have this conversation. Mom is angry mm-hmm. right now and I need to go feel my feelings and deal with them somewhere else. But like same, I would have never been able to tell my mother how her behaviors made me feel.
Yeah.
Right? And I just think that there's so many beautiful things that we're doing in this generation that are breaking such big cycles. And I love that this feeling good mm-hmm. can be one of them.
This is my core focus. It's how do you want to feel? But I tell people all the time, like, you're focused on something external to validate yourself. Like, and I don't just mean like the way you look. Like, yes, you could be like, okay, I want Botox. It makes me feel good. Great. I don't care. Or you want something new. But when I'm about to have a conversation with my child or my husband or a friend or any, I'm always asking myself, how do I want to feel? I want to feel connected. Cool. How are the words that are going to come out of my mouth allow to create connection instead of disconnect? Even though it's an emotionally uncomfortable conversation, even though like I have to give feedback to somebody on my team. And it's funny because a lot of women that I attract, it started with parenting and then it was like their whole lives. And then they were doing it in their work as well. And I'm like, I have to give feedback to somebody that I was not impressed with, but then I process my own emotion. And I'm like, how would I like to receive this feedback if I was in that person's shoes? How can I get the message across? But still in a connected way, but not lie to her and be like, oh, that was great. And then just avoid. Be like, no, this is what the intention was. This is blah, blah, blah. Like, how do you think that went? And you can do it in a such more connected way. I mean, I will say to my kids like, hey, remember the shit show that happened this morning? Like, let's talk about it. What do you think we could have did better? Is there anything I could have did? And then if they're still being little jerks, I'm like, what's going on with you? I don't need to yell and scream and discipline and do all of these things. Behavior is a language. So yeah, feeling good is the goal, but it needs to be like, that's the journey is like, how can I, how can I, how can I? I think too often, not only are we taught we need to be good all the time, but we have this belief that I can't. I'm not allowed to invest in myself. And I'm like, says who? Well, I don't make money. So you don't give any value to your household? Like, would your house even function without you there? Why are you not valuable? Because you don't get a paycheck. or you do get a paycheck, but you still don't feel like you're valuable. I'm like, what is this life? I was just actually scrolling through Instagram thinking, you know what our culture values is a paycheck, how much, the more money you make and how defined your abs are. And I'm so sick of it.
It's bullshit.
Because those people are usually miserable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed. Miserable.
Agreed. Agreed. I know. I think of like some of these things as like an awakening, right? When you're able to kind of wake up and see all of these things that have been imprinted on your blueprint that you're like carrying around with. Yeah. And so as you're like on this journey of figuring everything out that Heather has been talking about throughout this episode, be so gentle with yourself that, you know, it's hard. It's hard to figure out what those things are that we need to unlearn, redo, do different, figure out, you know, it can feel like an identity crisis at times, you know, what does it mean to feel alive? You know, and you kind of talked about this journey of like, what do alive people do? What am I going to do? What are the different alive hats that I'm going to try on, right? Yeah. And so just be so, so nice to yourself as you're on your journey. Heather, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I know that you have so many more resources around this topic. So can you tell my listeners where they can find you?
Yeah. So the podcast, Emotionally Uncomfortable, I talk a lot about mindset stuff in general, your feelings, how to feel joy, parenting, attracting more profit, which is time, money, and energy if you are a business owner. And then just check out my website, Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com. And I think I have a resource page. I think it's called Free Gifts. It's either Free Gifts with an S or no S. And I have all these resources with a quiz, where to focus your energy and attention first, 10-minute habit challenge, all the things.
Perfect. I will be linking all of that in the description of this podcast. Heather, thank you again for joining me and helping me support you, the mother.